Blog Talk Radio.
David Reagan with Front Row Motorsports, driver of the Dockside Logistics Ford, and you're listening to the Pit Stop Radio Show with Tim Despain.
Live from Talladega, Alabama, you're in the Pit Stop with Tim Despain and Stephen Wilson on the Speedway Digest Radio Network. Big thanks to Talladega Super Speedway track president Grant Lynch and public relations director Russell Brown. It's not too early to purchase your tickets for the Winn-Dixie 300 on May the 2nd for the NASCAR Xfinity Series, or the Talladega 500 May the 3rd for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. To purchase your tickets, call 877-GO-TO-DEGA or visit TalladegaSuperspeedway.com. This is more than a race. This is Talladega. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get everything started off. We got a lot of callers calling in. We have a special guest co-host, Mr. Tiger Tom Pistone, has agreed to come on and stay on for this is our final show of 2014 until January the 6th of 2015. Well, let's bring Reverend Joe on and get everything going where we can get this party started, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Reverend Joe, how's everything going out there in California, my friend?
Not too bad, other than it's been rainy for the last week, which I'm never in love with. But that's part of life. I think Susan put that curse on me when I was giving her a hard time because she said it was cold there last week and the week before. So I think I got a little curse put on me there for picking on her.
She got you back, didn't she, bud?
Yeah, I think so. Shall we get started?
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Reverend.
Lord, as we start and come before you in prayer, the first thing on our hearts today is our good friend Todd Bixby, who's a great friend of the show. We know he's in the hospital. Hopefully it's not anything major. We know the doctors haven't really come up with what's going on yet. But I ask you, please, Lord, to guide the doctors, give them great wisdom, help them to help him, and get him out of there quickly and efficiently and find the problem and get it solved. Also ask you, Lord, to bless all those who are involved in auto racing, reporting on auto racing, and all those involved. As we end this season and the show for the rest of the year and look ahead to January when we'll start up again, we ask your blessings upon everyone in the pit stop and everyone that listens to our show. And we ask you, please, to give them blessings and great time together with family and friends during the Christmas season. And to not forget Jesus Christ, who's the reason for the season. And beyond that, he's the reason for everything, every day. So we ask you to be with him, be with us, and be with our show. And we thank you for all that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Joe, again, I say it every week. Great invocation, and would you like to stay on with us for some time here and talk to Mr. Tiger Tom and Stephen, and we've got Tony B.
Sure.
Going to come on here, and you know, we'll just have a big round table talk, and if we step on toes, you know, we'll just, you know, sort of go around at it, excuse me, or whatever. But you're welcome to stay on, Reverend, if you'd like to stay on for a while.
I'd be honored to.
Okay, thanks, Reverend. And at this time, I'd like to bring on NASCAR legend himself. He's been waiting. With two wins in the Premier Series, 53 top tens, 5 poles, let's welcome Mr. Tiger Tom Pistone in the pit stop.
Let's get ready to rumble!
How you guys doing?
We're doing great, Tiger. How are you doing?
Oh, waiting to get on the show to see what we can talk about.
Oh, I know, Tiger. I talked to Bill Yanisek. He said you was biting at the bits and chomping and everything, ready to get some radio stuff going. And I said, Bill, we've got Tiger took care of. He's going to come on. He's going to be our guest co-host tonight for our final show of 2014.
Okay, good. We got some good questions to ask me?
Yes, sir. We got a bunch of stuff. But at this time, Tiger, can you hold on?
Yep.
I've got my good friend, CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com.
Okay,
and
go ahead.
Part owner in the Speedway Digest Radio Network, Mr. Stephen Wilson. I'd like to bring him in, and we'll get a big round table going. Let's welcome Stephen Wilson. Stephen, how's everything up there in Richmond tonight, bud?
Trying to stay out of the rain and the cold.
Yeah, that's what Reverend Joe was talking about earlier. Said Suzanne must have jinxed him about the rain and the cold. But Stephen, we got a big show tonight, our final one of 2014, and we're going to observe the holidays, Christmas time, and New Year's. And I know we got some breaking news out of NASCAR and Tiger and Reverend. If we can, I'd like to let Stephen sort of share some of that, and we'll just carry on and get some of this breaking news out of NASCAR over, and then we'll talk some old school racing and some and how the sport has evolved over the years, if that's okay with y'all, gentlemen.
Yeah, go ahead.
Stephen, you got the floor, bud.
Yeah, so you know, a little bit of breaking news coming out. It's kind of a weird thing in the Sprint Cup Series after 2016. Sprint has announced today that they will no longer be sponsoring NASCAR's Top Tier Series. They've been in the sport since 2004 when they took over from Winston. Well, actually, was Nextel at the time. Sprint bought them out, but they've since said. They've since said that today in 2016 will be their final season sponsoring the Top Tier there in NASCAR. You know, it's really weird that, you know, that this is happening. It looked like just a matter of just a year or two ago, Sprint was on board for signing another extended contract with NASCAR to continue their sponsorship in the series. Unfortunately, since that time, they've been bought out by a company in Japan, SoftBank, as well as their CEO at the time. They have since let him go and brought another guy on who is restructuring the company off a little bit. They're trying to get their finances a little bit more into order as far as, you know, getting back into the wireless game. They've had some bad years here with burning through a lot of cash. And NASCAR, you know, NASCAR has been a vehicle for them to be able to come out and really get their brand out there over the last couple of years, been able to show people what they can do on the technology side. And, as a Sprint shareholder, I don't necessarily agree with the way that the company is going right at the moment. I understand their business acumen, that they're trying to get their finances in order, and, you know, they've got to look at things to cut, and unfortunately the NASCAR series, their sponsorship will be cut out, at least in the form of sponsoring the Top Tier series. There hasn't really been much in the way of whether they will continue maybe a small sponsorship in the series, whether it be on a car or an associate sponsorship or something like that. You know, Brett Jukes did come out today and, you know, talk about how they've been in a great sponsorship and great partnership over the last couple of years. And, you know, 2017, starting now, at least they got a good heads up where they can go out there and start marketing to companies and hope to get somebody in there ready for the 2017 season. And, you know, right now in NASCAR, not only in NASCAR but the other series and, you know, everything else, I'm not sure, you know, whether they're going to be able to find somebody with deep pockets right at the moment. Verizon, you know, it was brought up, maybe Verizon. I was having a discussion earlier with somebody about maybe Verizon coming over to the Sprint Cup Series and sponsoring that beginning in 2017. Unfortunately, with them, earlier this year, they announced that they would take on the title sponsorship in the IndyCar Series for 10 years. I don't think that they can back out of that. And, you know, by that time, I think it's a little too late in the game for them. You know, in 10 years, I'm sure somebody will be signed on for a very long-term sponsorship. But whoever it is coming forward in 2017 will definitely have to have some deep pockets out there in order to continue the branding of the series to be able to push it into the next level. I think this year or next year in 2015 with NBC and Xfinity coming on, they're going to bring a lot of technology in to be able to promote the what was the Nationwide Series. So, you know, it'll be interesting. I'm not so sure. I don't know who out there might be interested. I know in the past there's been some names thrown around in the past. I believe AutoZone was one and a couple other, automotive companies out there that have seemed interested in the Sprint Cup Series. But, you know, whoever it is, they're definitely going to have some deep pockets out there in order to continue the series. Sponsorship, my understanding, it's somewhere around $40 million a year, not including a marketing budget that they would have to put in for what they do as associate sponsorship, the sponsorship of the Sprint Unlimited or whatever it may become. And, you know, they've been a great partner in NASCAR over the last, you know, almost 13 years at this point, and they've really brought the series up and been able to bring, you know, a lot of customers, you know, over to them from other cell phone partners and really brought in a lot of their technology there into the Sprint Cup Series and been able to bring it to the masses out there with the coverage that they've given us. So, you can't knock them for what they've done in the sport. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, businesses, you know, have to take a look at what they can afford and what they can. And this is something they, I think they felt like they just can't do going forward.
Yeah, you're right, Stephen. And if I can, gentlemen, I know we've got a lot to talk about our last show of 2014, keep harping on that, but we've got my good friend Megan Thomas, meteorologist, ABC 3340 here in Birmingham, and we want to bring her on. She's going to do the local forecast for Central Alabama, and then, Stephen, we'll get into the Tiger Tom stuff, some of the old school racing, how the sport has evolved and all that, and we'll get with Reverend Joe. But let's bring Megan on right now, and let's get the forecast for Central Alabama.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Megan, how you doing? I just wanted to let you know I have you a new nickname, Megan.
What's my nickname?
Mother Nature.
Oh, I like it. I like it.
Okay. And I want to thank you. Thank you very much for taking time out of your busy schedule. I know you've been busy and everything else, but you got the floor, Megan. This is Megan Thomas, meteorologist, ABC 3340 in Birmingham.
Yes. Okay, let's talk about this weekend. I can't promise you a really nice weekend, unfortunately, but on Friday night, showers will begin to move in, or I should say Friday afternoon. Highs will be in the 50s as we head into Friday night. We'll see temperatures in the 40s. So we're right around average for this time of year. Showers are likely to last on Friday night. So if you have Friday night plans, maybe some early, you know, late Christmas shopping, it's going to be a little wet out there in Birmingham. And then on Saturday, we've got a 40% chance of rain. That will likely be gone by Saturday afternoon. So if you do have plans, it'll still stay cloudy. However, there won't be a lot of rain out there. Expected anywhere from 1/2 inch or below rainfall totals. On Saturday afternoon, highs will be in the 50s. Overnight on Saturday, temperatures will be in the upper 30s. So it's going to be pretty chilly. And as we get into Sunday, it'll stay partly sunny, and we'll see a high around 53 degrees. And on Sunday night, you're looking at partly cloudy skies with overnight lows in the middle 30s. So we're right around average for this time of year. Highs are typically in the low to mid 50s. I mean, overnight lows are in the 30s. So we're starting to feel a little bit more like Christmas out there.
Yeah, Megan, and, you know, it's not the 70s like I like and Stephen like and Susan and, you know, Suzanne likes. But I've been watching some of the stuff on the Weather Channel, you know, the national thing. What's our odds of maybe having a white Christmas here in Talladega?
Do what?
What's our odds on having a white Christmas in Talladega, Megan, or Central Alabama?
Oh, like, I'm going to go ahead and say 0 to 100. There's not a chance. We're not going to see snow at all on Christmas Day. Unfortunately, I know we would all like to see that, but we're not looking like a white Christmas here whatsoever.
Okay, good. I mean, I sort of like a white Christmas and everything. Anyway, Megan, thank you again for taking time out. If you want to tell our listeners where they can follow you at on Facebook and Twitter, you got the floor, Mother Nature.
Yeah, absolutely. Follow me on Twitter at MegTom, MEGTOM underscore WX. And then on Facebook, you can find me at meteorologist Megan Thomas.
Megan, thank you very much. You and yours have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and we'll talk to you next year.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that was our meteorologist. Okay, Stephen, I'm going to turn you over to Tiger Tom. Let's let you and Tiger Tom and Reverend Joe, y'all got the floor, and I'm going to step back and let Tiger Tom's been chomping at the bits get on the radio, Stephen. So you got the floor with Tiger Tom and Reverend Joe.
Stephen, how much worth is Bill Gates? What's his worth?
Last time I saw, he was somewhere around $80 billion or something like that.
Well, that's the guy I'd be looking for. What is $1 billion to him? You follow me? That's what I'm sure that NASCAR is looking at those billionaires. There's plenty of them out there. And that's the kind of guys we need in this racing.
Yeah, I think so. Or maybe even somebody like Warren Buffett. I mean, that guy is, many, many billions of times over. I don't even know what his net worth is these days. But he owns a lot of companies out there that potentially could, you know, you take a look at some of the stuff that he's bought out over the last couple of years, it would be a great you know, deal for him to be able to get into this, especially with all the companies out there. And I don't really know who's going to be able to come in at this point. I mean, NASCAR is definitely going to have to take a look at some of these guys out there and see what's available. Do you feel that maybe another automotive company that could bring this brand back up in NASCAR? Do you feel that maybe they should look outside of the automotive world to bring in a sponsor?
Now, your outlook is those billionaires. Take my word for it. There's got to be one out there. Somebody's not doing their job. You know, and Buffett, like you say, Mr. Buffett, he looks like an easy come to me, but, you know, I mean, real nice gentleman. And you got to get him interested in racing. You got to bring him to the racetrack. You got to romance them guys. Take him to a couple of races. I know for a fact you could get them hooked. It's not that hard to hook them.
No, absolutely not. I mean, you take a look at what they're already spending in marketing dollars year over year in their companies. I mean, this was, you know, $40 million a year is almost dropping a bucket to some of these guys on what they're making out there. Maybe a technology company out there. There's a lot of companies out there that could potentially be a part.
Well, that's what they ought to do. Forget about the automotive department. Start looking for this year, guys. You know, I was in Daytona in 1959, and I had no sponsor for 1960. And there was a lady in the grandstands by the name of Lynn Holloway said that she owned Grace Steamship Lines. And she heard that I wanted looking for a sponsor. She come down and sponsored us. So I know there's people out there, individuals, that would like to sponsor NASCAR. I know that for a fact.
Hey, oh, yeah, most definitely. It's just a lot of it about how you approach them. You've got to get them hooked. You've got to give them an angle that's going to work out well for them and give them the branding and the opportunity with the marketing and what they can do. What NASCAR is going to have to be able to do is show what they can do for them, not necessarily the other way around. And I think we're at a point in the way the sponsorship works is I think a lot of people have to show what you can do for them and not as I say, the other way around, whereas, you know, Winston could come in and they were a great sponsor in the series. Brent has been a great sponsor in the series, and it's always been showing how what Sprint and Winston and Busch, you know, back in the days, you know, were willing to prop NASCAR up and really bring that brand to the next level. But now I think NASCAR has to turn the tables just a little bit and show, you know, what is in it for them? What can they do to bring their marketing dollars and give them a better return on investment?
You're right, 100%, Stephen. You gotta roll the carpet out to them. That's what you got to do. Show them what NASCAR is. Let them in. That's what you got to do.
I think you guys are both really right there. And as Tom said, you need to roll out that red carpet and start bringing these people as guests down into the garage and throughout the whole industry to see exactly what's going on, how many people are involved, what the interest level is, and that all of those people have mentioned tonight would all be good sponsors and would benefit from getting down to, as Tom would put it and I put it, the real grassroots people of NASCAR, because there's an awful lot of customers there that feel left out with modern technology. And to rope them in, Sprint did a pretty good job of that to a big degree, but I think there's many, many others out there that could do exactly that.
You know what's I met Gene Haas at a birthday party with Leonard Wood. It's the first time I met Gene, and we sat there and we talked. And did you know this man did not know nothing about the NASCAR history or Bill France Sr.? And we sat there and we talked about it and talked about how NASCAR got started. And I couldn't believe that he didn't know all this, sir. So that's why I'm saying there's a lot of those guys out there that, you know, it's got the bucks that don't know what NASCAR is. And I know that a lot of them out there are bored. They're bored to death. They don't know what to do with themselves. You know, and I've met a lot of millionaires that they're that way. They got so much money, they don't know what to do with it. But there's got to be somebody out there to go after these people. And I say it's there. I wish I had the power to do it. I go do it.
Yeah, I mean, you take a look at what NASCAR really, I mean, they in the last couple of years, probably in about the last 10 years or so, they've really brought that IMC department, the marketing department in to really go out there and sell these sponsorships out there, and they seem to be doing something different than in years past. I know a lot of times, you know, teams were just kind of out there floundering, you know, who do I go to, how do I do this? And NASCAR has been able to come out there and bring these departments on and be able to go after some of these guys. They've hired some key people in New York and L.A. and some of these cities where it would not traditionally be a fan base per se, but these are where the decision makers are. And you've got to go after the decision makers that are outside of what you would consider a NASCAR fan base and get them to come in, be able to see some of these races out there, give them the tour, roll the red carpet out, show them how NASCAR can promote them, and see where it takes you from there. I know it'll be a lot of tire kickers and people coming in, you know, wanting a free ride, take a look around, but you never know which tire kicker at the end of the day is going to sign that contract.
Right. So that's what I'm suggesting. NASCAR, go look for those people. They're out there. Take my word for it. Look at Joan Rivers. I didn't know she's worth that much money, and she's going to donate most of it to charity. You know, I mean, this don't make sense. Donate it to NASCAR.
Yeah, I mean, even Bill Gates. I mean, Bill Gates every year is, you know, billions of dollars he gives to charity, gives to different organizations and things like that. I mean, he has the money, he has the time. I mean, Microsoft and, you know, all those guys up there up in Redmond, Washington, you know, those guys, there's a lot of marketing. Microsoft has gone into the NFL just as early as this year and really sold a lot of sponsorships out there to get their name back out there.
Right.
And not traditionally that Microsoft has had to do so in the past, but now the tides have turned. They've got to go out there. They've got to be able to do that. And I think they've got to be able to connect with the fans. And as anybody will tell you, NASCAR fans are some of the most brand loyal fans that there are out there. People will go into a store and see a NASCAR logo or know that sponsorship and buy that product over somebody else's.
I know it.
You're right.
You know, I was at a lawyer's office yesterday, and this lawyer is 72 years old, and he lived in Shelby, and he's got an office here in Charlotte at the Duke Energy Building, and he's 72 years old, and he's never been to a NASCAR race. Now, can you believe this now? And then his secretary lives right here next to my shop on Newell Hickory Grove Road, and she's never been to a NASCAR race. So there's something wrong somewhere. Why these people, they live here and don't know about a NASCAR race. Something's wrong somewhere. The message is not getting out. So I told this guy, some way or another, my lawyer, I'm going to get him two clubhouse tickets for the World 600, and I'll guarantee you he'll get bugged. Just like Bill Gates, how many kids has he got? Does he got any older kids?
He's got two or three kids. I can't remember, but they're both teenagers or right around college age.
Well, there's your key. There's your key. Get those kids, bring them to NASCAR, give them a ride in those cars, let them, you know, give them the red carpet, take them to the races. There's your key. You know what I mean? The kids is the key, and the grandkids are the key. Mostly the grandkids. I don't know why, but you favor the grandkids more than you do your own kids. So I know there's a way of doing it. Go through the kids. See, like right now, we got these Bandoleros and these legend car races, and they start racing at 8 years old. And these guys would bring their kids out there if they know about it. And you get those kids involved, you got the money. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, that's absolutely. I feel that you're hitting right on the nail on the head. You've got to look outside of your tradition. You can't. You're right. I don't think you can necessarily walk up to Bill Gates or Warren Buffett or anybody like that and say, "Hey, sponsor the series." You got to find an angle. You've got to find the key to getting to these guys, and it's not going directly to them.
Exactly.
I think you guys may be missing something though. The good thing is NASCAR made this announcement 2 years in advance, practically. Well, a year in advance. It's almost 2 years in advance. And I hope and pray that there's some big shot out there like you guys are talking about who has been looking at NASCAR and thinking that Sprint had this tied up and had
right.
it tied up for a long time. And all of a sudden today, they just discovered that, wait a minute, Sprint's getting out because of all the changes Sprint's making, and maybe here's my chance to get in.
Exactly.
And it might just happen by itself, because like you said, there'll be those people who say, wait a minute, let me go look at this a little closer. And like you said, that it's the marketing people. I was in marketing for a cup team years ago, and it was always amazing to me, just as Tom said, the number of people, even as popular as NASCAR was 15 years ago, that you talked to, and they really had never paid attention.
Exactly.
They didn't even know it was there. You know, they kind of heard of it, but I remember when I was working for Brett Bodine back when he had his own team, I had to go back to North Carolina to change out a car. I had to be there for a week. So my parents, who were living in Florida, I'm living in California, they drove up and met me in North Carolina, and I took them and gave them a tour of the shops. And they were shocked, because I've been in racing, well, it's been 50 years now, but they always thought of auto racing as a bunch of grease monkeys working in dirty shops with dirty cars. And when I walked them into those buildings with white floors and guys who didn't have a speck of dirt on them working on those machines, it changed their entire perspective.
100%.
They started watching. It's that. It's the whole picture. That is why, like Tom said, you got to take these people by the hand, walk them in there, take them to North Carolina, take them into all these different shops, show them what big business this business is, and you're going to get them interested, because Nextel didn't jump in just for laughs when Nextel jumped in, which became Sprint, but it somebody interested them in it. Something turned their eye.
Hey, Tim, I went to visit a team, you know, last year, which I really don't do, and I had a couple of guys from Pennsylvania, and they said, Tom, can you take us over and show us a couple of these race teams? I did, and I was shocked. I was hurt. I couldn't believe. I walked into this place, and the lady said, who are you? You know, and it just hurts your feelings. They won't let you in the shop to see where all the dirt's at. It's just like you say. You see the white floors. A few years ago, Paul Goldschmidt flew down there. You know who Paul Goldschmidt is, don't you?
Yep.
All right. He flew down there, and he says, Tom, let's go over and see a couple of race shops. He said, I had a lady that was interested in sponsoring, because he was going to help me find a sponsor. So I took him over to one of the teams, and the lady did the same thing. Who are you? What's your name? I told her I was, and I told her Paul Goldschmidt. She didn't know me or him or anything else. And we walked out, and Paul said, what has happened to this world? You know, who wants to go to a race team and look through glass windows? Not me. I want to go down and look at hands-on. And that's what's wrong with the sport today. You know, in Junior Johnson's shop, you could have walked in it. You could go anywhere you want in Junior's shop. He'd take you. He wouldn't even take you. He'd let you in. But that's not the way it is no more. It's like a bulletproof, you know, the best is what it is. And believe me, I am not going to go look at any more race shops. I was really hurt. That's twice I've done that. I'll never do it again. You know what I mean? I'm used to walking in the front door and going to the back. That's what I'm used to. And it's not happening that way no more, Tim. It's over with. It's over and done with, Tim.
Yeah, Tarter, you know, you talking about that, and you know, I see this from the media side. You know, I work with a lot of PR reps and things like that are in the industry. And you know, a lot of times, they'll make an announcement, and I'll email them and ask very specific questions, and you would be amazed at how many times than not that people just don't have the basic knowledge in order to at least give you a basic answer on something in the NASCAR industry or about the cars or about what is going on. Now, I'm not saying that that's necessarily everywhere, but there's a lot of them out there. I'll give you a story here a couple years ago. This has been about 3 years ago. I had a guy email me that was a PR rep for one of the teams. Let me just put it like this, to one of the NASCAR champions at the time. And he asked me a question. He said, where did you find this specific piece of information about our team? Well, I told him, and he had no clue that NASCAR and the sponsors have specific websites that are media access and that they can put their information on. It just blew me away that somebody that worked for a NASCAR champion had no clue how to get to the information that was being put out there about them.
Right. You're right, 100%. You know, these car owners has got to change their ways. They've got to let these fans into those shops, you know. And I saw Richard Petty's shop in Greensboro. I went up there because Robbie Jones had a car up there that Richard Petty was restoring. I didn't know that they restored cars. And that's the first time I ever saw Richard Petty's shop, the first time. And I was lucky. Richard was standing outside, and he saw me, and he brought me inside and took me all around the place, you know. And that's the way it used to be, you know, back in them days. But today, if you ain't got an in or somebody that you know, you're not going to get in. You're not going to get in.
Yeah, I mean, they've made it hard as far as NASCAR fans being able to get in. And you know, on one side, you know, I it's kind of like one of those double-edged swords. First, you know, I kind of understand, you know, where a little bit where these teams are coming from. First, they don't want to, you know, 30 years ago, they didn't have to worry about somebody coming in and slipping on a grease spot and suing them for $20 million. You know, now, today, some people are just out there just looking for a reason to sue you, to get injured, you know, so that they can get a free lot. And then at the second part of this is that, you know, there's a lot of technology that's in these race shops that you go on a weekend to a NASCAR race and they're like, do not take a picture of our engines. Do not take a picture of this piece of equipment because they don't want people seeing it and they have no clue who is working for who anymore.
That's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous. What secrets? There's no secrets, Steve. Let's talk sense. That's stupidity. They're ruining the sport is what they're doing. I want to look. I want to see whatever they got. I want to look at it. And so is the fans. They want to touch. You mean that's what they want to do? You know that, Steve. I don't have to tell you.
Oh no, I absolutely agree. I mean, you go out, you know, you'll go to a race a lot of times and, you know, walking down pit road and you've got 35 people standing out there on pit road saying, do not walk across this line. Do not touch the car. Do not do this. Do not do that.
Yep, you're right. Right. You're right. Is that 100%? Okay, is there anything else? Maybe NASCAR.
Steven, can I ask Tiger a quick question?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead, Tim.
Okay. Hey, Tiger, you probably know where I got this from, but somebody told me to ask you about going to South America and racing a bunch of women. I had to throw that out there. You probably know who told me to ask you that.
There was I was on the airplane going to Caracas, Venezuela for the Chevrolet racing team, Jim Rathman, and there was two women on the airplane, Denise McCluggish, and I can't remember the other girl. And Jim Rathman said, those are the girls that you're going to race against, Tiger. I said, the day they blow me off, I said, I'll quit racing. I'll hang my helmet up. When we got out there, they went by me so fast, I didn't know what hit me. They made a fool out of me.
Well, I was told to ask you that, Tiger. And I was told to ask you another question, too. What about when you were, I don't know if it was before the race when you was over there, something about a dictator standing there and you was going to shake his hand or speak to him or something?
Oh, yeah, that was the president. The president that ran out. I told my buddy Rathman standing next to me, I said, watch this, Jim. And as soon as he come by, he had the guards with the big shot guns. And I stepped out of line and says, "Gummer style, you all." And them guards wanted to shoot me. That's the president. That's the president that ran away. What was his name? Gerard Jerez. I forgot what his name was. You know, joke of all that deal in Caracas was, you know, I didn't know what was going on there. See, we flew back home after the race, and a month later, Rathman calls me up on the California race, and he says, I want you to go down there and get our Corvettes and get them back to Miami for me. Oh, like a dummy, I did that. Got in the airplane, got into Cuba. A whole bunch of guys come there with rifles and guns and all over the place. I said, what's going on here? And I didn't know the war was going on there. There was a war. But Rathman knew this, you know, Jim Rathman. And he sent me down there, and they said, war affects your country. But I fooled him. I found on airplane pirate operation, you know, pirates. And we took those Corvettes and we stuck them in those airplanes and flew them to Miami. And I told the pilots, don't tell Jim how we got these cars in the airplane. in order to get the cars in the airplane, we had to take them completely apart and push them in sideways on the door and then put them back together inside the airplane. So Raffin couldn't figure that out for a long time.
That is cool. That is cool. Now, Tiger, what year was this, if you don't mind me asking?
1958.
That was back when you was in your prime, correct?
1958. That's when they had that. There was a war broke out in Cuba in Caracas, Venezuela. They had that war.
Okay. That's right. That's
I mean,
right.
It was a real war, and I was in it.
You was in it being a race car driver.
Yeah, right.
That's funny, Tiger. Tiger, you started out before you got into racing. You was a big race promoter up in around the Chicago area and all that, correct? What all tracks was you promoting back in the day, back in the, you know, when it was show enough racing, boy?
Well, we found this racetrack. It was called Aurora Downs. It was an old horse track, you know, with and all glass stands and everything else like that. And my two partners went out and borrowed $20,000. And I found out later where they got the money at. Anyway, we ran the race, and I never knew till that day when I started promoting that race drivers are animals. You know what I mean by animals? They don't care if you're dying. They want their money after the race. I think we had six people in the stands, and I went downstairs and I talked to Dick Hutchison, Ramo Stop, Don Wright, all the guys, and I said, look, boys, I ain't got the money. There's no people here. And they said, we want our money. And that's when I says, the race drivers were animals. But, you know, the reason I was so nervous, I found out later that my partners borrowed this $20,000 off of the big people in Chicago. And you, if you didn't pay, you know what happens to you, don't you?
Yeah, about like the mafia, ain't it?
Exactly, 100%. So my race car promotion didn't last too long.
Well, Tiger, I want to tell you who I talked to. Your good friend Bill Yanisek, he wanted me to ask you that. He said that would be good for the, you know, for some of the fans that don't really know about you and, you know, back in the day and everything. And I'm going to throw out, I hadn't had time to throw out the number. Y'all, the number to call in is 215-383-3681. You can talk to NASCAR legend Tiger Tom Pistone and CEO of Speedway Digest, Mr. Stephen Wilson. And, Tiger, just a little bit about how the racing has evolved. You know, we've had you on the show before, and, you know, tonight you're our guest co-host, and we appreciate you doing that. How the racing has evolved from back in the day to the way it is now, which I know, you know, back in the day there was no power steering, and you had a story about you were at Daytona, and I can't remember the gentleman's name, correct me if I'm wrong, that went over into Lake Lloyd. And
well,
you have
Tommy
a story
Irwin.
About yes, and you have a story about going to a scuba shop in Daytona that year, correct?
See, Tommy Irwin had a 59 T-Bird just like the ones we got. And a 59 T-Bird is a unit construction body. It's all one piece. And it's pretty well sealed. And at Daytona, you had to run with your windows up. Otherwise, you couldn't get the speed. We ran stock, you know, stock windows in the car, regulators and everything else. Tommy went in this lake, and he stayed down there for a long time. He stayed down there. So finally, when they got out, and he got out of the car, and he come out of the lake, I went over and talked to him. I says, Tommy, what took you so long? He says, Tom, I couldn't find the crank handle. He said, I was searching all over the floor, and I couldn't find the handle. And I finally found the handle, and I turned the window down, and I came out. He said, otherwise, I'd be still down there. So that's why I can't swim. So I went to the scuba place. I bought an oxygen tank. I bought the whole operation, the mask. You tell me, the whole scuba operation, and a life jacket. And I wore it, you know, and I'm here today. That's why, you know, they can all laugh about it.
Now, did you wear that the whole race?
Yes, sir. I wore it for 2 years straight until A.J. Foyt got it disqualified. You know, A.J. took that nitrous, he took that scuba bottle, you know, and he put nitrous oxide in it, and he was using it for his engine until NASCAR caught us. Then NASCAR outlawed all the tanks, so I couldn't run the tanks no more. My buddy AJ.
Tiger, that's a great story.
It's
and
a true
story. Tiger, I want to. I know it. I talked to Bill, but yeah, I want to just let everybody know, Tiger, at the top of the hour, we've got a young lady out of Central Florida, Brooke Storr. She's going to come on. My good friend Tony B, he's waiting here. We're fishing to bring him on. He does his segment at the top of the hour, Everything Open Wheel with Tony B. He is a former champion crew member at the Indianapolis 500. He won the 2012. He was front tire carrier for Darrell Franchini in 2012 when he won the Daytona 500. And he won the 2013 Rolex at Daytona. But Tiger and Steven, if I can, I want to bring my good friend Tony B on because I know Tony B has a lot to talk about. But I got a good little button right here that always brings Tony on. So y'all listen to this.
Okay,
say hello to my little friend.
Tony B, how you
hello,
doing?
Hello, how are we? Steven, how are you? And Tiger Tom? Well,
yeah,
I'll tell you what. Just listening to you talk about nitrous oxide, you know, back in my younger day, I was an ASA. I was a national safety director for ASA, and we was down to Nashville 400. And I think you probably know the young boy's name, Tim Steele.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
His car was on jack stands in the pits. And you know what? That whole car blew up.
Yep.
And you wouldn't imagine what they had done. They had filled the frame rails full of nitrous oxide.
100%. You know, in Talladega, Bobby Ellison was parked right next to Sterling Marlin, was driving the car. And the dry sump tank used to be on the side door by the driver's compartment, right there in the front. You know, and the darn thing blew up. And we couldn't figure out. They couldn't figure out what happened. I know what happened. We had a 2-pound nitrous oxide bottle inside there, and the oil made the solenoid blow up.
I have seen guys fill their frame rails with BBs, and then they have a switch or something they pull, and they go in the corner and they lose them all. Or I've even seen where they put liquid mercury in it.
You're talking about Darrell Waltrip, by the way?
I might be.
You know, not Wilkesboro. You know, it's funny. They used to park the cars on turn 1 and 2 in the grass. And I walked by and I said, what the heck is all this water here? He had the frame rails all full of water.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, the mercury came last. The water was the first thing, then the pellets. You know, the pellets like you're talking about, and then the mercury.
Yep, the mercury,
Well, the mercury they use for shifting the weight, not for adding the weight. They shift the weight from left
to
right.
But the problem was that mercury is not good for your health, and it was a leaking out on the racetrack.
It is drowning.
But,
you don't look at stuff like that. You know,
but
you keep forgetting that. We never had any shoulder harnesses in our day. You know, everybody, you stop and think about it. No shoulder harnesses. Exactly right, you know.
Well, back in the day when Waltrip used to run with ASA all the time, he had, his crew chief was Paul Andrews.
Oh, yeah, I know him very well.
And let me tell you, God bless Darrell Waltrip, and I know he's a good Christian man.
Do what?
I think he said every bad cuss word in ASA that ever could be said.
Say that again. He was a what?
He might be a Christian man.
Where'd you get that at?
I'm not really sure, because at all them words that he said back when I was official, I thought, there's no way.
I don't think he ever ran legal in his life.
Well, I told Steven and Tom, we were at Milwaukee, and you know, we'd hired the big guns to come in. We had Earnhardt and Waltrip, and Waltrip was running away at the Milwaukee Mile by about a half a lap on a mile track. And he told me, he said, you get down there and tell Paul Andrews, if he don't slow down and get with the pack, we're going to pull him in because those tires have got to be cheated.
That's right.
They've got to be soaked or something.
That's right. You're right.
And Paul Andrews says, there's nothing wrong with them tires. I'll just tell him to slow down because I know you'll check those tires and hold us in here and we'll lose. Yep.
You're right.
Rex Robbins just told me that this is a television show and that don't look good. Now get back in the pack. And boy, he did.
I understand. Why don't Darrell Walter talk about the old days? Don't call it cheating. Just call. Say it like it is. Just say it like it is. So what? I mean, so what? You
watch. It's not cheating unless you get caught.
So what?
Pushing the envelope.
It doesn't make sense. I admit I cheat. You know what I mean? I always cheated. How are you going to win? You got to cheat. I don't care what everybody tells you. If everybody tells you they're not cheating, they're a liar.
Yep.
You know what I mean? See, Walter,
if you're not cheating, you're not working hard enough.
That's exactly 100% right. I don't call it cheating. I call it outsmarting the guy. You know more than he knows. That's what I.
Yeah.
That's the way I put it. Walter should open his mouth on TV and talk about everything that was done in our day. Everything. The fans would love it. I think he probably don't want people to know that he was a cheater. Like, it doesn't make sense. Don't call him a cheater. Call him an innovator. Whatever name you want to call it. You know what I mean?
You know, back in the day, Tiger, I used to work with A.J. Watson at Leader Card Racing. And let me tell you, that boy, it was before the computers and before the engineers. He would do everything to a car that nobody else would even think about. But they would call it cheating. But he wasn't cheating. He was just smarter than they was.
Right. You remember A.J. Foyt, race he ran out of gas? And he grabbed the computer and he smashed it on the ground. You remember that in Indianapolis?
Yeah.
He says, take them computers and get out of my pit. He ran out of gas.
There you go, Tim and Steven. You know, we got Tiger. He's telling us everything we need to know.
That's the truth. So he's not lying.
He's telling the truth, just like he did say.
I like to get A.J. Foyt on a radio program, which I'm going to do it, and we're going to talk about the old days, and he will talk. He's like Smokey. Smokey finally opened his mouth in that book, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And he's telling the truth. He wasn't cheating. You know, just like that gas line when he drove the car home. The gas line was 50 feet long, one-inch hole. There was no rule on a gas line. So he had 2 gallons of gas under the seat. It was legal. There was no rule on it. So they all said he cheated. That's not cheating. You know what I mean? Then the rule got made, the gas line had to be a certain size and certain length after years and years and years. You know what I mean? But the guys got away with it. I don't know how many times he got away. I'm not going to lie to you. When I get my radio show going, we're going to talk about everything that was done in NASCAR. Everything that was done. We're not going to hold no punches.
That'll be a most amazing show. And let me tell you, I'll camp out right by the station if you're going to have Foyt on there telling about the old days when him and George Schneider were the boys.
Oh, yes.
And,
Oh, yes. AJ could tell you some great stories. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, I sent him a letter, and I want to go to Indy this year in May and work for him. I haven't got a response back yet, but that's what I want to do in May. I want to go work with him at Indianapolis.
Well, he's got him a pretty decent team now.
Yeah, I know it. No, I admired AJ from the beginning. See, him and Jim Rathman was my two heroes.
Yeah.
AJ and Jim Rathman.
And you know, Todd.
Is he any relation to Dennis Rathman?
Rathman.
Oh, okay.
Jim Rathman. Remember Jim Rathman? He won the Indy races in 1960.
Yes. Now I know who you're talking about.
He drove for Watson, AJ.
Yep. Oh, A.J. Watson and Ralph Wilkie.
Yeah, Ralph Wilkie. And what was the doctor's name?
Oh, Lord.
He drove for Granatelli.
I don't know what you're talking about. Suzanne would probably know it. I can't think of it.
He owned Coca-Cola in Atlanta?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, Tiger. Was he
a doctor?
I believe so.
I can't remember.
I just can't. I've hit my head too much.
You got hit in the head too much? That's a good one.
And you know, Tiger, Tiger, this is Tim back again. You know, you talk about how everything has evolved over from back in the day whenever you used to race and how it is now. And, you know, I met you in Martinsville this past time, myself and Suzanne and Stephen Wilson, his wife, Anne Marie, and I've really got back into it. NASCAR has really embraced us, and we're getting to go to a lot of tracks. And there's so much, you know, like you're talking about. It's not cheating. It's pushing the envelope. It's seeing what you can get by with. The way NASCAR has it right now, Tiger, I mean, you know, it used to be called the Room of Doom, but, you know, I get to go and watch and see. Everything is such a fine line now. Everybody tries to push the envelope, Tiger, but everything is, I mean, you know, over your manufacturers, your Chevrolet, your Ford, your Toyota, and it used to be Dodge and Dodge. That's a very touchy subject. We'll talk about that later. But everything has a template, and they have so many whatever that they can get by with. I mean, golly, Tiger, I mean, it's hard to even try to even push the envelope now.
Well, they pushed the envelope at Talladega when they were pulling them fenders out.
Yeah. See, back then, I talked to Billy Francis Jr. at Daytona. That's when Gary Nelson was working for him. And I said, Billy, I'd like to go to work for you. He says, Tommy, said, I couldn't afford to make changes right now. He said, everything's going so darn good. He said, I ain't changing nothing. You know, that's the way they have it. And why would you change it? You know, think about it. Everything's going good right now. In fact, this is the best year they ever had in NASCAR. So how could you knock it?
That's yeah, right. But they don't have guys like Tiger Pistone.
They don't need
and
us.
Jody Ridley.
They don't need
in
us.
There.
This was the best year I think NASCAR ever had, and the best racing they ever had.
I believe you.
It finally got me started to watch it again. I stopped watching it. You know, them races was very excited to them the last 10 races.
Yeah, you know, Tiger, coming down to Homestead, you know, which I think myself and Steven, we're going to try to make that trek next year. We're going to finally go to Ford Championship Weekend in Homestead, Miami. I want to go see that. But, I mean, you had all four of the Chase drivers in the top five. I mean, they really hit it. They really hit it. But I had at the media center here in Talladega Super Speedway back in the fall, I had asked Clint Bowyer a question about, you know, what's your take on the new Chase scenario, and do you think NASCAR needs to tweak it? Of course, you know, he's going to say he don't like it because he don't like the win and you're in because he didn't win. I mean, that's just like any other guy. But, yeah, I think NASCAR hit the nail on the head, Tiger. And
the best.
Yes, sir, it is. And, gentlemen, we're coming up on the top of the hour, and we've got Stephen Wilson sitting there. But I want to bring my good friend, Tiger. This is Brooke Storr, young lady out of Central Florida. She's young, Tiger.
She's young.
Is she single?
Yes, she is. She's definitely single, Tiger.
I'll tell her.
I'm going to bring. I've never met her, Tiger.
Okay.
All right. Tiger, let me bring her on the show. Hold on, but I'm going to bring Miss Brooke Storr in the pit stop with Tim Despain, Stephen Wilson, Tiger Thompson, and Tony B. Let's bring her on.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Brooke,
hey,
how you doing tonight? Hey, sweetie.
How are you?
I'm good. I just brought you into a show enough NASCAR, any type of racing you want to talk with NASCAR legend Tiger Tom Stoney.
Hey, Brooke, how tall are you?
And Andy legend Tony B and CEO Speedway Digest Stephen Wilson. I'm going to turn you over, if I can, before I give you to Tiger, because Tiger's acting like a tiger. I want to turn you over to I want to turn you over to y'all making me laugh. Now, we're trying to do a professional show. I'm going to turn you
and
over
you
to
you wonder
Steve
how
Wilson.
He got that nickname. How tall are you?
Is there something wrong with you guys?
Yeah.
No,
Brooke, I'm on
Tiger, I'm on the same page with you, brother.
Okay, wait, you guys don't like women?
Oh, love them.
Oh, yeah,
how tall are you,
women,
Brooke?
How tall am I?
Yeah, we need to know. It's really important.
I'm 5'8".
Tiger wants to know.
Oh, my God, you're too tall. Oh, my God.
How tall are you, Tiger?
It's okay.
All right, guys. All right, I'm on, Brooke, I'm going to hand you over to Stephen Wilson. Stephen Wilson, we've had him sitting on the side for a while, and I'm going to go take a pit stop. Thank you very much for coming on the show, and I'll be back in a minute. Stephen, handle it. I'll be back in a minute.
Okay, thank you.
You want me to handle it? I don't know. Y'all get a little rowdy in here. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to follow that one up today, the truth.
Oh, come on, Stephen.
I'll tell you one thing, Brooke. The women got it made today because that's what NASCAR wants, so you got a chance.
Yeah.
Well,
she's won a lot of championships and a lot of features, and she's doing a great job. And I read up on you today, Brooke. And, you know, we could go back and, you know, back when I raced karts, I raced with Tony Stewart and Mark Dismore and Jeff and John Andretti and Michael Andretti. Hell, I wouldn't let them carry my helmet back. They wasn't good enough for that. So, and all the stuff that you've done in karting is so impressive, and I know how hard that is, and I have to give it to you, young lady. You have got a career, and you have done so good forwarding that, and I really look forward to following you. We're friends on Facebook and Twitter, and you've got a great career, and you need to listen to Tiger Tom Pistone because he knows what he's talking about.
Hey, thank
Brooke,
you. I really appreciate
is your intentions
that.
To go in NASCAR?
I would love to. You have no idea. I think that's every racer's dream.
Well, the thing you got to do, you got to make the change. You know, just like I told Jeff Bodine and all the guys from Chicago, you got to make the move. You got to move down here and just travel the circuits and get in with the click. Especially today, you know, the women got it made today because NASCAR is going to push you. Back then, you were not even allowed the pits, and that's the honest.
Oh yeah, I completely agree. That's why this season we have decided to do a lot more traveling, and including at the end of the season in December. Go up to the Snowball Derby where a bunch of the NASCAR teams come to and be able to race that day and hopefully be seen by some of the big teams. I mean, that's what needs to happen.
Right. Concentrate on getting in the Camping World truck. That'd be your first thing. Concentrate on getting a ride in that. That's your first start. See, and then they'll move you up to Nationwide. Then you go to Cup. But the Camping World truck is the way to go right now because they need trucks. And
yeah.
Get a hold of Jamie Little, and he'll help you find a ride.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's the first step. It's hard, but it's definitely always something I've wanted to do.
Okay. I'm sure Tim Tisbane can help you, too. But you got to make the move. You got to move south.
Right.
Brooke, are you running at Orlando Speed World, or are you running at New Smyrna?
We're hopefully planning on both of those. It's kind of hard because Orlando runs on Friday nights. It's always hard to make a show on Friday night. But actually, our first race of 2015, we're planning on Speed Weeks, the last night of Speed Weeks at New Smyrna.
Okay. Well, I know that you're around that area. I will have to say this. I don't know if you've ever been able to make it out, but go out to Crash Around the Night at Orlando Speed World. That is some trippy stuff out there. That is the funniest thing I think I've ever seen in my entire life is those guys out there with RVs and buses and doing figure eight race. And I got to see that one time out there at Orlando SeaWorld. I ain't never seen anything like that in my entire life. That was just some funny stuff to watch.
Oh, yeah, it gets crazy for sure. People take that very seriously, too.
Yeah, they actually do. I consider going and buying a $300 bus my own self and going down there and crashing some buses into one another, you know, just for the fun of it.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, so what are you running this year in at Orlando Speedworld and going to be running at New Smart? Are you going to be running late models or limited stock, or what are you planning on for this year?
They're called Sportsman's. It's just like a pro late model with a stock front clip and a 602 crate motor is really what they are.
602 crates.
I think up north they're more called like strictly stocks, which I understand because there's really nothing stock about them.
Yeah, they're almost like limited late models around where I am is kind of
right.
Like what they are. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, that's
okay.
A good start right there.
Yeah, hopefully by the end of the season, it would be nice to get another late model ride.
Yeah, I mean, it's so does Fast Car still run those tracks down there, or have they sold out over the years? Because I know years ago they used to own about four or five tracks down there. I think it was like Lakeland and Orlando Speedworld and New Smyrna, and I think the one that's up in Ocala, I think they used to own all of those. Do they still own that, or does somebody else own them these days?
I'm not sure. I know New Smyrna is a NASCAR-sanctioned track, but I'm not sure about the rest. Maybe Orlando is, but I know not any other track around here, I can say.
Who are you driving for, Brooke?
Still there?
Yeah.
Which car are you driving? Who owns the car?
My parents own the car.
Oh, okay. Who's crew chiefing it?
My dad.
Oh, your dad?
Yep.
Did he do NASCAR racing before?
I'm sorry?
Did your dad used to run NASCAR?
No, he ran, he's had limited late models. He's ran super late models. He's ran everything you can think of.
What, in Florida?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
In off Alabama.
I'm trying to place it, but I know him.
Yeah, it's a... down in Florida, during the some of the tracks like Orlando Speedway and New Smyrna, you know, I like I say years ago when Fast Car used to own them, they used to do a lot of stuff down there, and I know where you're coming from because on Friday nights Orlando Speedway runs, and then New Smyrna on some weekends are running Fridays, and some weekends are running Saturdays. It's kind of hard down there to go back and forth between the two of them. I used to know some. I have a friend of mine who lives in St. Cloud, and we used to go out there all the time. And you kind of see the same guy. Sometimes you see him, sometimes you wouldn't. And I understand how hard it is to get back and forth between those two. Have you ever considered going and doing the speed weeks to do ARCA testing out there during speed? Well, actually, ARCA testing is getting ready to come up. Here, I think next week or in 2 weeks, something like that. Have you ever considered getting in an ARCA car and doing an ARCA test?
Oh, I would love to. It's just I've never been offered or even thought of the. I've always wanted to run an ARCA car, but never really had the chance.
The trouble with that, Brooke, is they want $150,000. That's what they want.
Yeah,
exactly,
it's
pretty hard
yeah.
to raise that kind of money.
Oh, yeah, it's very difficult. We're still trying to raise some money right now for a crate motor for this season, and that's tough enough.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. I know exactly what you're going through.
Yeah, I'm sure by the speed weeks of this year, they only run our class one night, which is the last Saturday of the 9-day show, and I've never ran a New Smyrna yet. I've had letters since I was 12 where other tracks have approved me to go race in New Smyrna at only 12 years old in a pro truck. So I've always looked forward to going there, and I really hope we can make it there in February.
No, you'll like it, Brooke. It's a real nice racetrack. I won the first NASCAR race there in 1966. I won the first one they ran there. You'll like the track. It's a real nice track, and the promoters are good people, too. It's a 9-day show, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes, 9 days. And you can't find another ride?
Just my car so far is, because everybody wants crazy amounts of money to go run super late model 50 lappers.
Yeah, I talked to quite a few of the guys. They're talking $15,000 to rent a car for 3 days.
Yes.
For 3 days.
Yep.
Yeah, you're right. I don't understand what the – I don't know what to say. I'm lost for words for you.
Yeah, they – and they make you sign a crash clause on top of all that stuff.
Right, exactly. And then you don't get a top-notch car to start off with. They take your money.
Yep, and nothing back. Maybe you'll get a trophy back, but if you're lucky.
Tell your dad to concentrate on the crash on the Camping World truck. I'm serious. It's not that hard to find a sponsor for it, and it's, you know, and it pays good starting money. And that's your way into NASCAR. That's your way in. You need to tell your dad put all the money into that Camping World truck.
Yeah.
You should buy it himself. Definitely. Well, don't rent one. Just buy it yourself, because you rent one, it costs you too much money.
Yeah.
That's how I did it. I bought the truck myself, and I raised my grandson with it.
Yeah, and
yeah,
you know, Tiger,
that would
you
also be a lot of fun.
I'm sorry, Brooke. Yeah, and you know, Tiger, you hit on. I know, Tiger, you hit on that point about your grandson. How many races did he race in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series this past year? Was it just a couple, Tiger? I can't remember.
Oh, that was Chase. That's my other one. I ran Tommy back in 2001. We ran three races in the Camping World. Yeah, that's Chase.
Right. Okay.
So what I'm trying to tell the Brooklyn, you know, if you want to get into NASCAR, and I keep repeating myself, is that you got to concentrate on NASCAR. And forget the other tracks. You don't need it. You don't need the seat time. You're just wasting your money is all you're doing. And you could buy a truck pretty cheap. You could buy a truck, you know, and put together what your dad can do, and you maintain it yourself. And you don't need no pitmen, because you notice your R&D school in NASCAR? These kids will work for nothing, these kids, in a NASCAR school. And they'll go to racetracks, and they're pretty good help, you know. And that's what I used to use. I used to use the NASCAR guys. See, the Camping World Truck, they'll notice you, the NASCAR drivers, because they're there, like at Martinsville. Martinsville would be her first race. And all the NASCAR guys would be there because that's the big race of the year at Martinsville. This is the advice I would give you, Brooke. I would sell everything you got and go get yourself a Camping World Truck. Take my word for it. If you want to go NASCAR. If you don't, you're just wasting your money right now, what you're doing. You're just wasting your money.
Go ahead, Brooke.
Oh, I've always wanted to, like, do the truck thing or anything. It's just financially very difficult. And I've thought it would be a lot easier being a girl to find sponsors, but hasn't been very good lately. We do have a sponsor up in New York right now, and I know he's listening, so I got to thank Arthur. And he helps out Storm Motorsports a lot. And that's why this season we really, especially need seat time. We've had a rough two seasons lately. So this year is all about getting a confidence booster and going from there.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
You're on the right track.
And you know, Brooke, I'm good friends with Jennifer Joe Cobb and Steve Cuckendall in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. And you know, Mike Effarano, he just announced the other day he had a press release. He's bringing Joanna Long back in the sport. I think he's going to do some Xfinity stuff next year. But yeah, not talking about the gender, Brooke, but I mean, with you being a female and with Danica promoting and making the road for the females, not saying nothing wrong. You have a good shot. I mean, you know, you might could talk to Mike. You might could talk to Steve Cockendahl. I mean, there's just like Tiger said. He said the road to NASCAR is the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. And, you know, just like he said, you know, you can get all these guys that are going to school to do this. And if you're at a track where all the NASCAR guys are at, you know, you can get them to pitch you and everything else. But just wanted to throw that out there. And, Tiger, you hit on a very good point, bud.
Well, that's what you got to do. That's the best advice I could give her. I gave the same advice to David Reagan and a bunch of other guys. That's how you get your start, the Camping World Truck, because NASCAR won't let you start nowhere else. So you have to start there on the half mile.
Right.
Right.
And Tony B, do you have anything for Brooke?
All I got to say to Brooke is that I've looked over her records, and I know where she's came from, and I know what she's doing. And one day, maybe I'm the guy with Brace Yourself that will be looking to help her go further in her career. That's all I got to say.
Hey, there you go, Brooke.
Well, thank you.
Get that in writing right now.
There you go. Where's my ink pen? Or where's my crayon, Tiger? I got me a crayon.
I'll take your word on that. I'll take your word. You're going to help her. Just say I'm going to help her. I'll take your word.
Tom, you know what? You remind me so much of Jody Ridley, I can hardly think.
That's right.
You know, he was, God rest his soul, but he was a good old boy just like you. And what you're telling Brooke Storer to do, Jody Ridley did it his whole career. And, you know, he had his stuff, and hey, paint her light blue, and let's go run a Ford.
No, I'm serious. You know, she's lucky she's got her dad. Her dad's, you know, mechanically inclined. That's a big help right there, you know what I'm saying? And plus, he loves racing. That's a big help. That's a big plus. You know, you just, like I said, I'll repeat myself again. Sell what you got. Get rid of it. Go find a truck. You can find a good, nice truck at the auction because they're selling pretty cheap, you know, around $6,000 or $8,000, you know, a Camping World truck. And then the motors, you can rent the motors, you know. For me, I would buy the motor if it was me and maintain it myself. You can rent these Camping World trucks pretty cheap. And like I told you, you, not your dad, you got to go talk to these people yourself personally, not your dad. You know,
right.
When you walk up to Jack Roush or Rick Hendricks or Joe Gibbs, you yourself has got to go talk to them, not your father. Remember that. Like, or any NASCAR official, you got to be the spokesman for that team because you're in charge of that team, and that's what they're looking for, spokesmen, people that can talk. And it seems like you talk pretty good right now.
Thank you.
And, you know, Tiger, you brought up a very good point again. And you sound a lot like Humpy Wheeler. You know, you're straightforward, to the point, tell it like it is. You know, Humpy, I know you know Humpy.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all are good friends. Myself and Suzanne are good friends of Humpy. Steven Wilson, too. And Tony B. Humpy tells it like it is, just like he's always said. And I'm going to bring this up. Humpy told me one time, he said, Tim, do you think NASCAR actually has the best talent that is out there? I said, Humpy, where are you going with this? He said, Tim, you take your old dirt road country boy, cornfield guy out of Iowa that races every night just like Brooke Storer does. He puts his money in it, but he's not got the money or the sponsorship to be seen. Are we actually seeing the best drivers NASCAR has in the country,
no.
Tiger?
No. Nowhere near it. There's a lot of good drivers out there. And God knows, God only knows what Brooke can do. Brooke, let me tell you something. I had 8 kids. I did it. I had my wife sell the house. I made her do it all by herself. We didn't get much money for it. And I told her, I says, I'll pick you up in front of the house with the kids. And I said, when you got the house sold, get the money. And that's just what I did. I picked her up. Put the kids in the car, and we drove straight to Richmond, Virginia, straight to the racetrack. Didn't even have a place to stay. You know what I mean? And I would do it over and over and over again. You got to make the sacrifice. You got to sell, like I keep repeating myself. I know it's hard to tell you this here, but you got to sell what you got. You got to get rid of it. And
yeah.
Put your money in this Camping World truck. I'll repeat myself again. And I do it again. I'll go broke 10 times. I do it. If you don't do it, nobody else is going to do it for you. Just remember that. Don't wait for anybody to do it. Just like what he said, he's going to help you. Okay? Put him on the spot. Take whatever he offers you. You know, whatever it is, you know, it's something. It's a start. Plus.
Exactly.
And plus, he's got a lot of people that he knows could make the plus bigger. But you got to have something first. You got to have, okay, this is my goal. I'm going to go Camping World truck. I'm going to buy a truck. Okay, you got to make the commitment. Then when you got the commitment, they'll help you. They don't want to hear you say, well, I'm going to buy a truck. I'm going to do this. They don't want to hear that. You got to make the commitment. Show them that you're serious, and they'll help you. Take my word for it. And you ain't got much time. March is right around the corner, and you could run Martinsville in March if you listen to me. And I'll help your dad all I can, you know, on setups or, you know, what to do, you know, on that beer. It could be done, Brooke. That's all I can tell you. It could be done. And all the guys in NASCAR IRD school from Charlotte, North Carolina, will be there to help you, free of charge.
Oh, yeah, I completely understand.
Make the commitment. That's all you got to do, Brooke. Make the commitment.
Amen, Tiger. You hit a big point there. You got to make the commitment, just like
you
said.
No, you can't say, I'm going to do it. You got to do it.
Yeah. You got to do it. You sold the house. You sold the house. You sold the farm. You said, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to make it happen. And by God, you did.
That's right.
You did. You did. Stephen Wilson. I want to bring Stephen back on. I don't know if he's – I see he's still there. Stephen, do you have any last thoughts? I know you're a busy man with SpeedwayDigest.com. Do you have any last thoughts for Tiger Tom, Tony B, or Brooke Store?
I don't. I do not. Thanks, guys. Appreciate everything this year. Tiger, good talking to you again. Hope to see you out at the track next year. Tony, I'm coming for you next year in the fantasy racing. Let's just put it to you like that. And Tim, thanks for letting me be a part of this year. In January, we'll pick this all up again, and I'll take a little time off here. I appreciate everything from all of us here at Speedway Digest and everybody. I much appreciate it.
Thanks,
you're Steve. Very welcome. You're very welcome, Stephen. Merry Christmas to you, Miss Anne Marie, and the boys, and I'll talk at you later, bud.
Okay, Steve.
Careful, bud. Y'all take it easy. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was my good friend Stephen Wilson, CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com, and I think I just hung up on Tony. Tony can call back. I accidentally hit the button. Tiger Tom, any last thoughts? In which I know I have had a meeting with your good friend, Mr. Bill Yanisek, and we will break that out later. But any last thoughts on...
I'm going to do the same thing I'm going to do again. I'm selling everything I got at my shop, buildings, everything. And I'm going to go racing with my grandson, Tommy, because this is I ain't got that many years left, so I'm going to make this my last wish, and I'm going to go and do it. See, like I told Brooke, you got to make the commitment.
Yes, sir. And, Tiger, I would love to have him on the show, which I know you're talking about doing a show down the road, but I'd like to have him on hours one night or whatever. But, Tiger, I want to thank you. I want to thank you very much for paving the way for all these young kids, and you come up the hard way, the hard way. I want to definitely tell you that. You come up the hard way in NASCAR, and you've done a hell of a damn job, bud. I'm going to go ahead and say that. And I want to thank you very much for being a good friend of mine, Suzanne's, Tony's, and Steven's.
Okay.
And just thanks for everything that you've done for the sport, Tiger, and we'll be in touch, bud.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Tiger.
All right.
Have a good one.
Okay.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Tiger Tom Pistone, legendary NASCAR driver, and I hung up on Tony B. And I think we still got Brooke. Brooke, any last thoughts? You want to throw out there where everybody? I mean, you just talked to one of the great NASCAR legends in NASCAR, Mr. Tiger Tom Pistone, beating it down. I mean, he just kept on and kept on about go get you a truck. But Brooke, is there any last thought? Anybody you want to thank that's helped you along the way, and where everybody can follow you at on Twitter and Facebook?
Yes, I got to thank my parents. I mean, without them, I wouldn't have done anything in my racing career. Bennett Septic Services has helped us out a lot this year, and I also got, like I thanked earlier, Arthur from New York. And I know this year we're going in ready to win, and there's nothing holding us back. We're ready to go as a team, and I'm ready, and I know this is going to be a great year for the Storm Motorsports team.
10-4. Brooke, I want to wish you all the best of luck next year in 2015, but I want to bring Tony B back on. I accidentally hung up on him. I want to bring Tony back on. I think Tony might have you a question. Tony, you have any last thoughts for Brooke? Sorry about hanging up on you, bud.
No, not a lot of questions. Want to reemphasize everything that Tiger Tom had to say is legendary, and it goes on a long ways. Try to do what he's asking you to do, and there are people out there that will get behind you once you make that commitment. And you've got the talent, and you've got the social skills, and you will make a good career for yourself. And God bless you for everything you do, and thanks for coming on the show, and brace yourself. We'll be in touch with you.
Thank you.
But if you can, I've got my good friend Todd Bigsby. He's having some health issues. He's actually called in. He's in the hospital. I want to bring Todd on. And Todd said he was going to call. Todd, how you doing, bud?
I'm about to get on the TV, so
Todd, are you there?
Okay.
I put him back in mute. He's in the hospital, but everything's good. They thought something had happened, but they're going to keep him overnight for observation. Todd's one of our big supporters, Brooke, from upstate New York. His home track is Watkins Glen. But anyway, Brooke, thank you very much, and Merry Christmas to you, your family, and Store Motorsports. And don't be a stranger, girl. We'll get you back on. And just like Tony said, listen to what Tiger Tom said, because he's been around a long time.
Oh,
long
yeah.
Time.
Well, thank you, Tim.
Right,
I'm looking forward to being back on.
All right.
Yes,
thank
ma'am.
You,
you're welcome.
Merry Christmas and Happy New
Merry
Year.
Merry Christmas. Goodbye.
All right.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.